go. It's a Getaway Friday. Friday, November the 14th, 2025, 15 minutes past the hour. This is the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker. Pastor Whitaker is not in the studio as of yet, but hopefully he will join us very shortly. We would love to have a conversation with him about what is on his mind and all things going on in the world. I do want to remind everybody, you can listen to this station anytime on the internet, WWGH1071.com, or by downloading the free TuneIn app on any mobile device and searching WGH Talk, smart TV, laptop, whatever you got. And the Pastor Spot airs every Friday, 11:15 a.m. until 12 p.m. Live here on WGH Talk. So hopefully we hear from Pastor Whitaker via telephone or in person momentarily. Until then, Matt is in the studio. Matt, interesting morning here. Colleen Marshall on this morning. A lot of stuff going on in Marion. You know, food has become an interesting topic for people. Do you find it interesting that a lot of people are talking about where their next meal is going to come from? I don't know if a lot of people have been faced with this problem before.
Do I find it interesting?
Yeah. I don't know that this has ever been a thing for people.
I mean, quite frankly, I mean, I don't really find it interesting. I don't think interesting is a...
What do you find it?
I figure that if if you're hungry, I'd imagine that's what you were probably thinking is where... I guess it's interesting that
so you come back to it.
For the first time in a long time, like, Snap was withdrawn and things like that. The first time in maybe for I don't know if it's ever been Paul, so I was gonna say first time in forever, but I can't guarantee that. So anyways, so they have stopped the SNAP benefits, and I think that's interesting. That hasn't happened in at least my lifetime.
So you came back to interesting.
Well, I don't know I don't know what the goal is there. I guess that's why that's interesting, because, like, I don't think, I mean, like, it certainly doesn't make Donald Trump look good to not fund the SNAP benefit. I mean, the man's literally asked the Supreme Court now on two separate occasions to block the funding. So, I don't know what's up with that. I mean, I think it'd look good on you to, you know, do it.
You know, I'm not... The politics of it really are not interesting to me. It's just interesting that people have had to find other options and find other ways, and we saw what has happened with donations.
Well, I mean,
we saw what has happened with people stepping up. We saw what local government has done, giving $25,000 to the mayor to disperse how he would like in regard to helping people with their food situation. I think that's the interesting part.
It's interesting that Marion turned out.
No, I'm saying the response to it is interesting to me. I think it's been interesting to watch how people, you know, I think when people ask for Uncrustables, like the peanut butter jelly truck asked for Uncrustables, they got a great response, and they got donations. You know, if you tell people there's a need when it comes to food, it sounds like people will turn out. I don't know if people knew for sure if they would turn out or not.
Well, I mean, I guess you never know if people are going to turn out, but I mean, I think that's just, I don't know that that's interesting. I mean, I think it's just, I mean...
Try to find a word again.
I mean, I think it's just good. I mean, the people...
It's,
you know,
good.
Yeah, people turned out to help. I mean, I think it's bad that people don't have food, but I mean, it doesn't necessarily...
It
doesn't surprise me that there are people, you know, wondering where their next meal is.
Yeah, but why do they have to be told?
If you're hungry, you're hungry.
Yeah, but why do they have to be told?
Told
See,
what?
That's the interesting part to me.
Told what?
Well, the benefits stopped, and really nothing was being done. And then when the organization said, we have a great need now because of this, then people turn out. I guess people think maybe it's not going on until they're told.
Well, I mean, I don't think that... I mean, it's not something that most people rely on. So, I mean, there's that. And I don't think that... I mean, I don't really think people... I guess understood the extent to which...
Well, apparently people don't think about it unless you tell them. And I think that's been interesting. I think that has been... As if people did not see this coming. I mean, everybody was told. Everybody knew what was going on. There were news stories on
most
it.
Most people don't rely on those kinds of, or on like the SNAP benefits.
No, but obviously willing to give when made aware that there's an issue. But yet, if you're not made aware, you don't give.
I think that's a short-term solution.
I don't know what you mean.
I mean, like, I think that, like, hypothetically, should they have, like, somehow managed to, like, just fully, like, cut SNAP entirely and it was just gone out of existence, we no longer did it. I mean, I don't think that, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, and I'd hope I'm wrong, but I don't think that Marion would turn out indefinitely, always and forever.
I don't think that was the question. I said the question was when people were, the problem was there, the peanut butter jelly truck was getting down to 15 minutes where they could pass out food at night. Nobody was giving because they were not aware there was a problem. And when they were made aware that there was a problem, then they jump in.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not aware that this is a problem in general. But it is.
That's a statement.
What statement?
The statement you just said. That's a statement.
Well, I think that's what happened.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. But, so that's interesting to
but
me.
But you said the question was, and then you made a statement. So I don't know.
No, why do people have to be made aware of a problem before they help?
Well, again, I mean, it's not a problem that affects most people. So, I mean, they probably just don't think about it. I mean, so when they was made aware, they were like, oh, well, this is worse than I thought. They underestimated.
And you don't think that's
extent.
Interesting?
I mean, not really. I mean, if it doesn't affect you, most people don't think about things that don't affect them. It's just how it works.
So that's how all life works.
Not all life.
Oh, well, which parts work that way and which parts don't?
I mean, I think people just underestimated the extent to which,
You think people really thought about it until it was put right in front of their face? If you weren't having those issues, do you think you really thought about it?
I just said that. No, you didn't.
Right.
Okay.
But you said people are aware, they just don't realize to that extent.
Well, yes. I mean, people were aware that it was going to affect people. I just don't think they understood the extent. I don't think they thought that the peanut butter and jelly truck was going to run out of food. Like they didn't even make a turn. They would go like down the road and they would run out of food by the end of the road.
But people are willing to give when they are aware. But when they're not aware, they're not willing to give. So,
well, if you're not aware, you can't fix a problem you don't know exists.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. I think that's the point you're missing. People are aware this problem exists. They just don't do anything until it becomes a big, big red flag. This is not something that people hide. I mean, you can drive through the Walmart parking lot and see the people asking for food. You can drive through the Kmart parking lot. This did not used to happen. This is a fairly new idea in Marion, Ohio. You could go to the homeless shelter and realize that it's full. People from the homeless shelter talk about all the problems that they're having. You can go to the mall and see the people walking there in the winter because they have to get out from out of the cold because the homeless shelter clears people out during the day so they can do their cleaning. People are aware that it's there, but until they're asked and faced with it, then they contribute.
Peanut
butter jelly truck in itself existing is because of a need for food. It's not for fun.
Well, yes, I understand that, but I don't think that most people. I mean, it doesn't like. I mean, like I said, I mean, it doesn't affect most people. Most people really didn't think I'll put all that much stock into it until they.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, we agree.
I think
then.
That's very interesting. That it takes an actual message for people to get on board.
You can't fix a problem that you don't know exists.
But that's where I completely disagree. They know exists. They know there's a problem with this.
Yes, but
they just don't do anything.
They don't understand. I think that, again, I don't think people understood the extent to which it happens. Like, yes, most people, I mean, yes, people know there are homeless people. People know that there are people who don't have food. It just.
So what extent do you have to be at?
I mean, I assume if it, like, directly affects you or somebody you know, you probably...
But I don't think that happened last week. I know people who gave money and went and got the Uncrustables from the store that it did not directly affect.
Yeah, but there was... Again, would that have happened had they not asked for support from the community? Probably not.
Right, and that's
because
my point.
Because the community was then made aware of the problem.
but as if there wasn't a problem before.
But, yes, okay, but I'm not, but the community was made aware of the problem when they asked for assistance.
Yeah, but I'm saying there is always a problem with this.
I understand.
But people don't feel compelled in that moment to do anything. Most people. But when called
again,
upon...
I hate to be facetious, but I'm not intending to be facetious of what I should say, but again, I think it's just a case of like the old adage of closed mouths don't get fed. I mean, you don't ask for help, you're not going to get help. I mean, they asked for help, the community was like, yes, and then they responded in kind.
But I think the homeless shelter asks for help. I think those people with the signs, that's the whole point. I think they're asking for help. But I don't think people see that as a great need for food and lodging. But if we're in the midst of something and people ask for it and tell them that things have gotten worse, then they show up. But do they really know? I mean, I guess they don't know.
Again, yeah. Yes, people recognize that there are homeless people and that there are people who need food. But again, I don't think they understood the extent to which that was the case.
So what was the extent?
The average person doesn't go to the homeless shelter. The average person doesn't use.
No, but I don't think the average person went to the peanut butter jelly truck last week either.
Again, yes, you're right. And I think that's why when the peanut butter and jelly truck asked for help because they needed assistance, the community gave them assistance.
So what is the difference between the homeless shelter asking for assistance and the peanut butter jelly truck asking for assistance?
Where does the homeless shelter ask for assistance?
They were on Linda's show not too long ago before this whole government shutdown. They had a whole list of things that they needed.
Well, I was unaware. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's
unaware, and that's what's interesting
to me.
That's
the thing. I mean, yeah. I mean, like, that's what I've been saying. I mean, if you don't know, there's a, like...
I think you're missing here.
I genuinely did not know that the homeless shelter asked... I think the homeless shelter to put a levy up. Honestly. You don't think people would vote for a homeless shelter levy?
I don't know.
That would do the homeless shelter loads of good. I mean, like, throw up one for, like... I mean, I don't know what their funding is now, but throw up one for, like literally $5 on a $100,000 house and watch how much money you... I mean, like, you will get funding.
I don't know. People are against all kinds of levies. The Adam H. levy did not pass.
Because that was $35.
Oh, so it's the money. If it was $5, it would have passed.
I'll tell you right now how I voted on the levies if you want.
Oh, yeah, but I don't think that's the issue. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, how many people do you think listens to Linda's show?
I don't know. You never really know. But I'm just saying, in general, there's a flyer. I mean, they're put out everywhere. Why was this? The peanut butter jelly truck, for all the good that they do, they're not the homeless shelter. They're not the Salvation Army. They're not those groups. So why is it always when it's in people's face, like the bell ringers at Christmas time, or when the peanut butter jelly truck says we're running out of sandwiches in 15 minutes, why is that when people...
Well, they said that on your show, for one. And for me, I've often, every once in a while wondered, how they get their funding, but they continue to do it. So I figured, they got funding to operate this, probably to buy those cars and stuff or whatever. But I didn't know they was in a pinch. And when you said it on your show, they knew that. I don't ever remember you talking about the homeless shelter needing money on your show.
Well, that's kind of my point, is that we know we have a homeless shelter. If you drive through the parking lot at Walmart, you know that there are homeless people out there every single day of the week, usually more than one. So what is the difference? Why is it that when made aware of a peanut butter jelly truck running out of food 15 minutes into a shift and driving through Walmart parking lot, why are these two thoughts that do not come together?
Again, I mean,
Well, people probably didn't realize that the homeless shelter needed funds. I never knew that.
Well, trust me, they never are operating at any kind of a profit. They're never on the upside.
I can probably understand that, but I'm sure if you announced it on your show the way you did the peanut butter truck, and I even called TV39, they announced it last week on their auction, and they announced it yesterday. They only do them on the weekends. So
how is that show doing?
I'm not surprised that people came out and gave to them, but, you know. And I don't think everybody that's out there holding up those signs are drastically bad off either.
Well, see,
some of them get food stamps and have a place to stay, and it's just a job to go out there for them and beg for money. No, I'm not saying all of them, but, you know, there's been cases when that stuff's happened.
Well, and I think that's the interesting point. I don't know. I just think this whole conversation that we've been led into the last few weeks because of the stopping of the SNAP benefits has been an interesting conversation to have. Who's going to step up? Why are they stepping up? Are people going to criticize it? What's going on? I think it's an interesting question.
And that's probably one of the reasons why people, you know, gave to the peanut butter truck, too, was all this with the government shutdown.
Yeah.
And the city of Marion, I mean, if they're going to help people in any way, they ain't got to get the funds out. People are starting to my age. She got some food stamps. She only got half of what she normally got. But Marion, if you're going to do anything, let's do it.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. Thanks.
Later.
Well, and that's been a question, too. You know, what are people going to do?
Like I said, I mean, also, again, I mean, the homeless shelter is a permanent thing. The food pantries are permanent things. And I mean, that's why I said that I think this is a short-term solution. I don't think that if this was a thing that you had to do always, like, constantly, that it would be done.
At least
to this extent.
What are you talking about?
Peanut butter and jelly truck.
Well, they've operated for a long time.
Yeah.
Within the need.
Yeah, but now they're not within the need. They ask for assistance. People are giving them assistance, but I don't think that. I mean, I don't think that people are going to. Or again, like I said, the hypothetical that get rid of SNAP permanently, I don't think people would just.
Mary's out here saying this morning, the homeless shelter is a nonprofit. They are funded through the United Way campaign through donations and government grants.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think you can do a levy. Because I think when something is funded by the United Way, I don't think there's rules to that. I know the United Way is an organization that has very strict rules.
Well, I guess you have to take that up with the United Way.
Well, are you going to risk your funding to try to get funding that you're not sure about?
I mean, that's probably not a good move.
I guess I don't understand the premise here. People in America, people in Marion, people in the country are not aware that there's a food problem unless the SNAP benefits stop.
Well, again, I don't think it doesn't affect the average person, so the average person doesn't think about it all that much. And now, I mean, yeah, and now that SNAP benefits have stopped, it has become much more widespread.
I think that's fascinating. I think it's fascinating that when you wave something in somebody's face and make it aware, because I don't even know that the peanut butter jelly thing was a direct result of the SNAP issue. Maybe it was. I don't know.
Well, I mean, they said they could go like 45 minutes to an hour previously. I mean, they said that you still ended up turning people down. There was that. But, I mean, now they're getting like 15 minutes tops.
Right. So maybe it was. I don't know. I don't know how it all happened.
Well, it certainly seems convenient that it times up with the loss of SNAP benefits.
It did. But I don't know for sure. I mean, will it ever bounce back the other way? I guess we'll find out. You think all of a sudden they're going to have too much?
Probably not. I mean, especially if it's all Uncrustables. I mean, peanut butter and jelly last a while. I mean, if you could just get rid of. I mean, no, I don't think they're going to have a surplus.
Well, that's why. Well, why would that be? Why would when the SNAP benefits come back, why wouldn't the need go down?
Well, the need goes down when the SNAP benefits come back. I mean, they have...
Go ahead, caller.
Oh, good day there, boys.
Yes.
Is our Pastor Steve W. Not coming today? That don't want to interfere with his show?
No, I think he's out. I haven't heard anything yet. Go ahead.
You know that I can ramble, but I'm so much fun when I ramble, so it isn't really a bad thing. The esteemed webmaster wanted to tell me that interview with one of our favorite female veteran news people, the lovely Colleen, is now available on the esteemed website. So listeners, please go to said website, wwgh1071.com, and listen. It's well worth an encore if you heard it previously.
Well, not till after 1.
What do you mean not till after 1?
Don't go to the website till after 1. We're still live.
Oh, I guess that would be logical. Well, you could do it maybe during one of those PSAs that we continually play a little too much
time. I don't think you'll get that interview in during a PSA.
Okay, well, you can hear like a parts of it.
All right. Gotcha.
Okay, well, that makes a little sense. Plus, maybe people are in Europe or some other time zone. Okay, well, that's sufficiently confused people. Getting on to the high-tech talk that we enjoy me pondering, this is for Matt. You know, Scott, you never answer any opinionated questions. This is more of a, not really a personal or political opinion, more of a technological opinion. So, Matt, if I'm not mistaken, you're a country music fan, right?
Yeah, country music's good.
Did you hear the news about the digital download that was number one? Maybe you saw my Facebook. And maybe you can chime in, Scott, too, but you won't make an opinion, of course. Matt, since you are younger and you're a country music aficionado, as I recall correctly, the number one digital download for country is an AI song. It's not a real singer, guitar player, piano player. It's all computer-generated. Even the image of the singer, kind of looks like the Marlboro Man, is computer-generated. Did you hear about that? Have you heard the song? Because it's actually a really good song.
Well, I have not, but, I mean, it doesn't necessarily surprise me. I mean, I mean, it's like the AI videos. I mean, you can make an AI video now that's almost indistinguishable from
dancing with his favorite world leaders. It's amusing. You never really know, because like a lot of this stuff, it almost seems like the fake is more realistic than the reality. You don't even know half the time, and I guess that's part of the idea. I mean, there's probably people still scratching their heads saying that this number one digital download song is actually AI. It's not a real singer.
Now wait a second. You might have gotten bad information here, Adam. Time Magazine is saying that no, the AI-generated country song isn't a number one hit.
And this is break. Well, it's a digital download. I mean, there are different lists. It's different from when I was a DJ in the 80s where you played 45s. There was no Spotify and YouTube. But, yeah, you're referring to Breaking Rust, right? Walk My Walk.
Well, here's the story from Time Magazine, and I think we can certainly trust them.
Well, it might be fake news. I mean, but either way, it's getting a lot of...
Well, see, this is the problem with anything anybody says now. People believe, and it's not true. But here's the thing. Welcome back into the loop. Time's new twice-weekly newsletter about AI. We're publishing this is Time directed at AI. What to know? This week, many headlines declared that an AI-generated song, Walk My Walk, by Breaking Rust, had become the biggest country song in America. This is unequivocal.
Digital download. It's not the same
okay,
as the...
but hold on. We'll get there.
There's different lists, Scott. Remember, it's not the same as when I was in radio.
But we'll get there.
Years ago.
But this is unequivocally not true. Walk My Walk is laughably generic country song about independence and defiance, had middling organic momentum on streaming and search before it topped Billboard's country digital song sales chart last week. The song is currently nowhere to be found on updated daily streaming country charts on Spotify or Apple Music, so it's not the number one song
on
streaming.
I mean, it's getting a lot of comments. I mean, who knows? Maybe it's just you can hear it playing in the background there. It is a really good song. It's very catchy. And even the singer's image is AI. I mean, who knows, Scott? We're in this virtual reality world where you don't know if something is real or fake, and sometimes there's a gray area, and you don't know if it is. I mean, so many things happening in the news right now, I have to wake up and make sure that I'm actually in the same world that I went to bed in.
Right, but I think what's interesting is a story like that is interesting to some people, and they will believe it, but people, I just don't understand why people want to intentionally mislead, which is the people who are putting out this story are doing. I don't get that. What's the point?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't look at the charts because you have to pay to get Billboard's charts, and I used to subscribe and read it back when, you know, music was good a generation or two ago. But this, yeah, it is a good song. So if nothing else, we find this AI stuff often is more realistic and more enjoyable than reality.
Well,
I've heard AI. I think Calvin and I even whipped up a AI promo for my show and myself. And it was as good as anything a professional singer could do, at least the professional singers of nowadays.
Well, I think at some point it's going to be to our detriment to some extent. Because, I mean, if AI gets better and better, I mean, like I said, right now it can make videos that's almost indistinguishable from real life with the exception of, like, talk patterns and like, things like that on occasion. And so I think at some, like, if we start listening to, like, strictly AI-generated music, I mean, it will by all means be pretty much perfect music. So, I mean, I think if you had nothing but perfect music to listen to, at some point you're going to, funnily enough, crave the, like, the mistakes that a person would make, because that's actually real.
The digital download, even if it's not a real story, the fact that it is provided as real means that it's people are curious. I mean, I'm sure one, and I think it's going to be even more common. I mean, people with a technology background and technology in that technology matrix, they're going to say, what's this about? You know, we've all heard this and seen this AI stuff. We do a search for the song, we play it, the digital download number goes up, and so it's artificially inflated, but that can happen. You know, it's almost like these people that take, you know, 100 phones and put on Google Maps and try to make it look like there's a traffic jam when there really isn't, because that's how those
but one of the problems here is
generated.
Well, this, and I'm very proud to say this, that our Facebook page, because, and people do need to pay attention to this, our Facebook page, nobody in 12 years that it has existed, the WGH Talk Facebook page, nobody has ever paid for a like. Nobody has ever tried to boost a post. Nobody has ever tried to do that. And I know that other news sites do that, and then they go, wow, look at all the likes we have. Look at all the things. But it's not true.
You don't know, and we are, you know, we call organic, without question. Every single like is real, and every person who follows, they may not be daily followers, hourly followers like myself and others, but they certainly are familiar with us, and they come out of the woodwork when there's a big story.
Right, but I think it's very interesting that other organizations try to manipulate that for people and pay for it, which you would have to pay for because nobody's drawing that type of a crowd. No, and then they pay for it, and then they go, wow, look at all the subscriptions. Look at all the followers that we've gained. Well, it's manipulated.
It is, and we can do that in the digital world. I mean, just like with the people with the 100 cell phones to make it look like there's a big traffic jam on Google, which is fascinating, but it's pretty rudimentary.
But I always wonder what the... See, here's what I always wonder. What is the point? Because here's my thing about the media world, okay? Now, if we're not getting our likes organically, who cares? Let's say I paid for 100,000 likes. I just kept hitting that boost post, charging, and I get it up to over 100,000 likes. That doesn't mean anybody's paying attention to the content. That doesn't mean anybody local, which is where you need to be in a, with half the stories we do, is liking anything that we're doing. So what's the point in the end? It's all in your mind.
By the way, Scott, I had to let it flash by because you have to pay. But I, you know, unless something was hacked, I pulled up billboard.com/chart/country-digital-song-sales, and that song was number one. I just flashed by because I want you to pay, but I mean, I saw it. It says it's number one. So it is.
Well, I think it's because of the hysteria of what was said.
Right. Well, that will cause it. I said where you can artificially inflate, but that's the world we're in. It's
right, but I think the original world. Right, but I think your original question was, what do you make of this happening? Well, what I make of it happening is somebody created a false story to create that effect.
Well, if that's what happens, those things occur. I mean, we're in this world where the line between reality and AI and hype, it's very gray.
Well, I guess my point then would be is that if that is the fact, I would say that an truly AI-generated song can't make it on its own to number one unless it is falsely promoted.
People can do things to inflate numbers, and yes, our numbers are organic. And certainly, if we have a comment on a Facebook post, for every person who's made a comment, there are 100 people with that same comment who haven't posted.
Right, but I think what's interesting about, and I'm glad you brought this topic up about this song, is that
a little bit different than that, being younger, being a tech person like I am, and being I don't provide an opinion, unlike some people.
But no, I'm telling you my opinion right now, Adam.
A lot of opinions,
I'm giving you my opinion right now.
The joke's on me. Yeah, I'm glad. Go right ahead, because your opinions are always good. But this is just fascinating, and I like country. I like more the old school, but I like some of the new artists. I think that they do have a more natural sound to them than this synthetically generated crapola.
Right, but that's exactly
and
what
that's
you...
a country fan, so but I that's figured the... if he hadn't heard the song, I'd wonder what he would think about the news.
But I think that's what the point is that an AI song left up to itself cannot get to number one. That you have to create a false story, you have to mislead people to get it there.
It's almost a modern-day version, Scott, where, they're back in the 70s and 80s, the musical charts had a lot of these great songs from bad movies. In fact, it may not even be a bad movie. It may be an average movie. I think about your interview guest, Debbie Boone, her song, You Light Up My Life, one of the biggest hits of all time. One-hit wonder, even though her father is, one of the top musicians of all time. But the movie, I couldn't even tell you what it's about. I know it exists, but it wasn't really well known, yet the song was huge.
No, but I don't have a problem.
Then we got Grease and Saturday Night Fever, where the music and the movie were both huge. So,
right, but I don't have a...
I think that this is almost a modern way of it happening, where there's a side door to how we promote this music.
Well, I think that's a little different, though. I think that's different, because I think it's much like if a song is controversial. If there's a lyric in the song that's controversial, people will download the song because it's controversial. Like if I say, people need to picket that song, they need to ban that song, well, of course that's going to cause it to go up, because now everybody wants to know why I'm asking people to picket and ban it. It doesn't mean it's a good song.
Yeah, it provides attention, but that's sometimes how it's done.
Right, but that's not a lie. But that's not a lie.
The Beatles were popular because they were so good, they were unique. Their music was fairly simple.
Right, but what you and I are talking about...
And that's something right. I missed from my younger days.
Right, but what you and I are talking about, a song being so bad that it's good, or somebody picketing a song and it becomes popular, those are not lies. I still want you to picket that song. That song is still so bad it's good. What we're talking about here today is people misleading people with a fact that is not a fact at the time to get them to go to that song.
Well, it's a way of marketing, but...
I don't know if that's marketing.
All I know, Scott, is whatever they did, they're clever. The song is number one on that list.
But it'll never last. That's not a song that's going to have...
We'll see. I mean, people are making positive comments. It's got a good commentary on life. Can we ask our friend Chad Clark what he thinks? I mean, he's kind of
next time I see him.
He will provide his opinion. I'll ask him. I'm sure people oppose this to him. He's kind of an old school country guy. And... are people concerned that this is going to take over the music business? I mean, we already have these DJs that are AI generated. I'm used to sitting behind two turntables playing 45s using a cart machine, and I do miss those days. And of course, you can do all kinds of cool stuff with voice tracking and software, but I kind of miss doing it manually. I kind of like the feeling of accomplishment where I perfectly slip cued a song and I've talked and everything's off the cuff. And if I mess up, well, I just giggle at myself.
Well, and I think people like bloopers, so I don't think this is going to go very far. And the next time somebody tries this, they'll be more wise to it.
Okay, well, Matt, can I give you a homework assignment? It's a short song. Can you listen to the song during the break or something and maybe comment it next hour? I should be listening.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay, anything else to talk about today, boys?
No, sounds good. After 1 o'clock, we'll have to check out the Colleen Marshall interview.
How do you like this, half a day preview of winter? Now it's back to, feels like spring almost.
Not bad. It wasn't bad. Made it through.
Yeah, we love the Midwest. You get four seasons, sometimes in the same week.
There you go. Same day.
Okay. You can have your friend from the Farmer's Almanac on to talk about this capricious weather. I've not heard her on lately.
No, I haven't had her on this season. Possible. Okay, well, it's possible.
Okay. I was a Santa Claus Indiana lady. She's coming on, right? She's a
could be. I haven't booked her yet, but it could be.
Do I know you well, Scott, or not?
Well, those are some traditions I've done for, you know, decades now.
After 10 years, I think I got Scott down. You probably have me down also.
Well, I'd have to say 10 years of having the woman on every holiday season, I don't think that would be a surprise.
I would probably say that. Okay, Scott. Well, thank you again, gentlemen, and you have a lovely day, and I'll be listening.
All right.
Maybe I'll even call back.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Well, if you'd like to call in, 740-383-9944. Am I wrong here? I think those are two different things. If somebody says, I don't like a song because it uses a certain bit of language and that causes the song to go up, that's still a true statement. But saying that the song is number one when it isn't to try to drive people there, that's not true.
Well, you're simply offering a critique on one hand, and there are literally people who get paid to be critics, so there's that. And but you know, on the other hand, I mean, if it's not the number one, then it's fake news, I guess. False information.
But it's interesting that it will drive people to the site.
I mean, there is a fair. I mean, I don't know. There's a fair chance I don't know how valid that site is. I don't keep up with music numbers. I'll be 100% with you. I don't know who's popular at all or anything like that. But it could just not be the right numbers.
All I know, what's fascinating to me is, and I said it during the Colleen Marshall interview earlier, is that it is so easy to mislead people now. I'm not sure why people like doing it. I don't quite get that. Maybe you don't want to be a journalist. Maybe you just want to be some kind of goofball that misleads people.
I mean, I think that some people might just think it's funny.
Well, that's okay, fine, but that's your goal, is to cause confusion?
I guess. I mean, I don't know what else. I mean, you're either...
Then why do you masquerade as news? Why at the end of it don't you say, this is a joke, this is not true?
Like The Onion?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You know, it's funny how many people don't know that The Onion's fake.
That's fine.
That's not fine. You got to argue with them.
No, but that's their fault. That's just like a tabloid. But the point is that there is some indication that this is not a true story. But that's not what the people are doing who are posting false things on the internet. They're trying to masquerade them as true. Who's laughing at that? You just sit back and laugh and think about all the people that you've misled?
Well, I mean, if you're going to put out false information, I mean, you could do it because you think it's funny, and then in that case, yes, I mean, you're probably just laughing because people are, I guess, gullible or something, I guess, I don't know. But, otherwise, you could just be serving a purpose that you have, like you could just fake news that, you know.
I don't know if it's gullible. I mean, look at this, I don't think Adam is gullible.
Well, no.
I just think that is what happens.
I'm not talking about that specific. I've never been to that website. I've never heard the song.
No, I'm just saying, though, that that's misleading people on purpose to try to create interest in something that has no interest.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe the people who wrote the article, this particular article, I get, maybe they just, thought it was hyperbole or something, and that's why they said that the number one
Well, this
song.
Is just like what I said with memes. When people get attacked for their meme, they lean back on, it was just a joke. I was just kidding.
Well, I mean, I don't know why you're...
That's a pretty lame excuse.
I mean, I don't know, I mean, it's... I mean, if you did it because because you thought it was funny, then, I mean, you did it because you thought it was funny.
Yeah, but you don't say that until you come under a fire. Then, all of a sudden, it's just, it's just a big joke.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be, I mean, if I made a meme and then posted the meme and said, I thought this was funny, and then you read the meme, now you are expecting it to, it's the same concept Like when you go to a comedy show, you expect to you expect it to be funny. So therefore, your expectations of a funny are raised. Meaning, it's harder for the comedian to be funny had he just like had you not known you were going to a comedy show. You probably would be easier to make laugh.
What?
If you go to a comedy show,
gotcha.
Your expectations are to laugh.
Right, it's a comedy show.
Yep.
They've told you it's a comedy show.
Yep.
All right, gotcha.
Which in turn makes it harder for you to act because you expect it to be funny. So, like,
oh, not me. I've been to some very unfunny comedy shows. Well, it's just because I knew it was a matter of fact. I think it's easier to laugh because you know that they're telling jokes. You know that that's a punchline. Now, some jokes just plainly aren't funny, and you hear that in the room. But if I'm just sitting in a room with somebody and I don't know that we're doing comedy, and you say something that's not funny, there's probably no chance I'm going to laugh.
Well, yeah, but had you not gone in with the expectation that it was going to be funny, it would be easier to make you laugh.
Why? That means your friends can make you laugh easier than a comedian? Because they don't have the expectation on them?
I mean, I guess kind of. I mean, but I'm trying to think of a different example. I mean, if you expect something to be the greatest thing of all time, just in general, and then you go there and you're like, wow, that was, and then like you, I don't know, like, you know, you go do whatever it is. I mean, and it's like, it could be good. It could even be great, but it's not going to be the greatest thing you've ever done, and you're going to leave feeling a little disappointed because it wasn't as great as you thought it was going to be.
Yeah, but as long as you're getting what you expected, it may not
be. You didn't get what you expected, though. That's the point.
No, but what's the show? I don't understand what the show is.
What do you mean?
Like, what is the greatest thing you've ever seen? What is this?
If Cedar Point came out with a new roller coaster that you thought looked like the greatest thing of all time, and then you went and rode it, and you were like, "Wow, that thing is good, but it's not as good as I thought it was going to be." Now you're disappointed. If you go in being like, "Wow, that thing sucks," and then you ride it, and it's equally as good as the previous person.
But what if it was his greatest thing? I don't know that saying that messes with your opinion. If it was the greatest thing you've ever been on, it was the greatest thing you've ever been on. If it wasn't, it wasn't. Like, there are comedians who are big, big, big name comedians that I've went to see that clearly I had an expectation of because they were a big name television comedian. And you know what? Most of them delivered on that. I didn't leave going,
because they're big name professional comedians. I mean, you don't get big name professional comedian by throwing sets.
But you just said that's bad. You just said it's bad. The higher the expectation, the harder it's going to be. For them, it's not.
I mean, it's the same concept for anything at the highest level. I mean, yes, you expect, yeah, but that's why you're there still at the highest level.
I think the lower the expectation, the worse it is.
No, because then, because if you went in thinking that this person was going to be the worst comedian you've ever seen, and like even mediocre jokes at that point, you were going
to
think,
but why would you buy a ticket to see the worst comedian you ever saw? If that's really what you thought, why are you there?
I don't know, maybe the tickets were like $5 and your friend invited you and you were like, yeah, I can hang out with my friend.
Okay, well then you're having a good time because you're with your friend.
No, but it doesn't change the fact that the comedian can make a mediocre joke and you thought he was going to be a terrible comedian. Now the mediocre joke seems better because it outweighed your expectations.
I don't think so, because if I go to a show...
How does this not make sense?
Because I'm telling you. If I go to a show and I don't know any of the comedians on the bill, I have no expectation. Why would I have a diminished expectation? I just have no expectation. So if it's funny, good. If it's not funny, it's not funny. I didn't lose anything. I didn't know him to begin with. But if I go to somebody like Jerry Seinfeld, I do have an expectation going in that he's going to be funny.
And Jerry Seinfeld has
and
that job.
And he's
going
to be funny.
Yeah, and that's why he has the job still.
Right, but he could still not be funny.
You can meet expectations. It's
but you can also fail. But it's harder for him to hit it than it's going to be for people I don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's why he still has the job.
So you just agreed with me. The higher the expectation, the easier it is.
No!
Yeah, that's what you just said.
No, because if you went to see some like big nationally known comedian and they threw like the whole act was just mediocre jokes, you're going to be like, wow.
It could happen. But it usually doesn't, as you said.
Yeah, because that's how you maintain big name status.
And that's how you get a high expectation.
And that's why there's stress. I mean, that's a stressful job.
Right, but if you
have to meet expectations.
But if you aren't
at the highest level.
But if you aren't a highly trained professional, why would anybody expect you to be?
Because you're a comedian. You're still
so that means you're going to be Jerry Seinfeld?
No, but you're still supposed to be funny. I mean, I understand that not all comedians have different styles of comedy.
We got to go to break. We're done. We'll be back in 15 minutes.
Before we wrap up, I'll ask, and you can or can't, can you do something in the Bozo voice for those people?
You know, the funny thing is, and as I mentioned before, my voice and Bozo's pretty much ended up sounding the same. I'll tell you one quick story. My wife and I were having dinner in a restaurant, and my wife said something funny, and I laughed, and the laugh was, you know, which was pretty much my Bozo laugh.